Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden. This is the place where I'm going to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. In this episode, it is our week 5 of the Summer of Mentorship, a series where we republish previous episodes from fantastic mentors. This week's mentor is Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith.
And for me, that's what rest is about. Rest is about restoration. It keeps me in that place where when woundings come, whether they're physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, social, sensory, creative, when some type of wounding hits my life, if I wanted to be restored, I have to allow myself to get to a place where I lay down my ability to try to fix it. Because as long as I'm trying to fix it, I don't have the power to fix it. Every one of the 7 types of rest is where God is coming in some type of either spiritual or physical or scientific way that's healing us. And I think when I started to really recognize and understand that, I was able to accept just who He is more and how trusting Him is part of the journey of getting better.
This episode originally aired in 2018, and obviously the context at that time was very different from today. I'm not hearing a lot of people nowadays talk about being busy, and that's a good thing. But I think I also don't hear a lot of my mom friends feeling very rested. And the reason why is answered with Dr. Dalton Smith's research on the 7 types of rest, which he's going to share with us today. And what I also love as I listen back to it is a lot of the tips, they're tiny little ways that you can add in restoration to your day. And a lot of them are totally doable in this time of quarantine. So I'm thrilled to share those with you. And at the end of this episode, Sandra invites us into a harder part of her story, talking about why she struggled with rest. And it really came down to trust. And I think that's an important conversation given what we've been through, what we're heading into, that a lot of this is revealing what we put our trust in. A lot of our wanting control and being shaken by things and losing our peace reveals what we're actually trusting in. I'm very thankful for her sharing that. I pray that that helps you in this time and gives you perspective that you need. If you need even more, I have great news for you. Since I recorded this, Dr. Dalton Smith has created a course where she goes through these different 7 types of rest and even more. She's giving us a big discount, 79% off to Don't Mom Alone listeners, only $20. I've put the link in the show notes if you want to check that out. I think you're going to, because her way is so calm and comforting and encouraging, just the kind of mentor we need right now. Let's get right to it. Here we go. When you are writing about this topic, I can sense that it's personal. You aren't just giving us advice like we should rest, but this is coming from a place of experience. And tell us, what led to your passion on this topic?
Well, when both of my boys were under the age of 2, it was right after my second son had been born, I had this idea that I needed to be super mom and be able to do it all and be it all and have a full-time career and you know, keep my husband happy and my house clean and all this stuff. So I kept pushing and pushing myself till I got to the point where I literally just burned out. I wasn't happy with my job. I couldn't see how my marriage could survive. I didn't want my kids anymore. I was just at the end of myself. I didn't want the life I created. And that's the thought that kept coming back to me, was that, you know, this is what I've been praying and asking God for. I've been praying for this family and praying for these kids and praying for this career. And I was sitting in the middle of what should have been my perfect answered prayer, and it felt like a nightmare. And so I got to that point where I just crashed. I crashed and burned, and I literally ended up on the floor in the middle of my foyer after picking up my kids from daycare. After a day of work, picking them up, I set them in front of that TV and I laid down on the floor because I was just literally that exhausted. I didn't even want to like go to the bedroom or anything like that. I just laid out on the floor. And honestly, that's where God met me at. He met me right there and it showed me a peace that I didn't think was possible in that type of, you know, depleted, chaotic type situation. And it opened up a whole new thought process on what rest looks like and how easy and attainable it is when we kind of look at it in a different way, not just as vacations or the pedicures or, you know, those things that we associate with rest, but what really is required to live a life that is enjoyable and at a point where you want to keep living it.
So you were recognizing you were spent. You were recognizing you were the end of yourself. And I have had those moments a couple different times in my motherhood journey. And there is someone listening that she is feeling that right now. Was your husband clued in? Was he saying, okay, honey, you're pushing yourself too far? Or were your friends? Or was it only you kind of cluing into your overall exhaustion?
Well, that's the thing. And that's one of the types of rest I talk about is this mask we kind of put on. We can pretend to be super mom for a long time, mm-hmm. and people have no idea just how in distress you actually are. Because no, I don't think anyone looking at my life would have known where I was at. On the outside, it looked Pinterest perfect. I mean, mm-hmm. it looked beautiful. But on the inside, I was decaying quickly and had gotten to the point of depletion that was literally life or death for me. I mean, my body hurt just from the level of stress that I was carrying on a day-to-day basis. And my husband knew the side effects of it. In other words, you know, our relationship was strained. I remember one time coming home from work, and I don't know what was going on, what the specifics of it were at that time, but he said something, or he put his arm around me, or he pulled me close or something. And I remember looking at him with all the truth I had in me and just telling him, you know, I have nothing left for you tonight. I poured everything I had out in that last room of that hospital. I have nothing left for you, and just walked away and went to bed. And when I think about that, I praise God for his patience, you know, with me during that time, because that's how I felt. I didn't feel like there was anything left to give anybody else at the end of the day.
Man, so relate to that. And I'm sure I've gotten the emails from ladies who listen to the show who have felt that and are feeling that. And it's the reality of our limits, right? We
Absolutely.
Are physical beings. And you get into this a little bit about, you know, the body, soul, spirit. We can't deny all three are at work here. And I mean, we just had an episode on corporate working moms and talking about how do you do all the things. And it is physically possible to be really organized but to recognize the needs you have in different areas of your life. And I think if you had asked me before I read your book, I would have thought, yeah, I need a nap, or yeah, I'm exhausted. I would have seen it as a one-dimensional definition of exhaustion and rest, like mm-hmm. problem solution. How did you get past like that definition for yourself? How did you get to the place where you saw all the different areas of our lives that require attention?
Well, I started off with the basics because, you know, this isn't something that's taught or trained in medical school.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we kind of focus on the mind, body, spirit aspect. So that's where I started at. And I started kind of researching and looking at, just for my own personal benefit, I knew that I had to get back control of these areas, how to improve the mind, the body, and the spirit. So those kind of naturally started coming into play. But after I kind of had looked at all of that and done as much research as I could, I wasn't where I wanted to be. I was better, mm-hmm. but I wasn't where I wanted to be. And I still felt that emptiness. And that's when I really started praying and kind of researching the scripture and looking at some of God's perspective on it. I started actually doing some studies on the Sabbath and looking at the specifics of all these things that he said not to do on the Sabbath. And I was like, why would you say not to do, you know, this particular activity? What does that have to do with anything? And a lot of that started to kind of, my thinking on it started to open up. Okay, well, what are you not doing when you avoid the walking, you know, for exercise level? What is the benefit of just kind of shutting down some of your physical activity? What is the benefit of not cooking and doing all these different activities during that time? And that's when the sensory aspect of it and some of these other things started to come forth. The more I read about rest and God's perspective of it, even just in the creation story, mm-hmm. when God looks back and he declares things good, and then he rests, you know, then he rests. And I thought, God, when I thought to myself about my own life, you know, I prayed and asked God for all these things. And I had that feeling of, when's the last time had I looked back and declared anything good? Mm-hmm. I had just kept receiving it without reflecting on it, being grateful for it, or doing what God had already shown was how our body and our mind and our spirit and our experience to those things should be. And so it was kind of a ongoing life learning lesson with God to kind of pull out all of these different areas. And then I started taking it back to my patients because after I started feeling so much better, I started noticing so many men and women coming in. And the number one complaint is, I'm tired all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when I started doing all the things I would normally do, checking their their lab work and looking for all the different, everybody's thinking about thyroid and adrenal gland issues. So, you know, doing the test to check for those things, most of the time, I would say 95% of the time, everything would be perfectly normal. And so I started getting to that point where I had to make a decision. Was I just going to tell them, oh, go sleep more, which the reality is most of them could not sleep, because they were so chronically stressed, and their mental stress and physical body pain related to stress was keeping them from even getting high quality sleep. So even sleep wasn't helping. Mm. And that's when I started kind of creating ways to help my patients use what I'd learned to heal myself.
Okay, so catch the gal up. What are the 7 areas of rest that you discovered?
The 7 types of rest are physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, social, sensory, and creative.
So good. The mental rest blew my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, yes. For those of us who don't give ourselves a break in our mind, you know, beating ourselves up, or when we talk about lies that we believe or repeat, mm-hmm. That was really, really helpful for me. I mean, because I think whoever's listening may be thinking, sure, rest sounds amazing, but I have lots of little kids, or I do have that full-time job, and there's no way that I'm going to, I don't know when I would fit it in. I have poured out every single place. And so you've done this research, you've found these 7 areas. What did you do next? What did you do to start taking action? What did you coach your patients through to start actually implementing this? Because I think we believe a lie, talking about that mental, needing the mental rest. We believe a lie that this is how it's going to be, and there's no way to change, and there's just no option for me unless I had $1 million and can go to another country for vacation for a couple weeks. I mean, what steps do you coach people through to start taking?
Well, that's the thing. And I think you hit on a great point there, is that, you know, the whole vacation mindset. What I tell people is, I want you to pull that out of your rest vocabulary, because, you know, vacations are not restful for most of us.
Especially if you have young kids, right?
Yeah.
Slathering on sunscreen and all that stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're fun, but they're just fun work in a different location, but it's still work.
Yeah.
So vacation, I have people remove that whole vocabulary, because really what I try to help my patients see is rest should be a lifestyle. I don't want them just enjoying their life on vacation. I want them to enjoy every day of their life and being able to appreciate that their body is what God's given you to be able to enjoy life. And so we have to be able to constantly get rest when we need it, not wait till we're fully depleted, but be poured into and be restored on a regular basis. So I like to try to make sure that for each type of rest, they have very specific tiny things that they can do throughout the day, things that don't add to their to-do list, so it seems more overwhelming, but they just become natural things that they are doing. I'll just give you an example for like physical rest. I have a lot of moms who will come in and they're telling me that they're having chronic headaches or neck pain and back aches. And they say, well, I don't do anything that, you know, that should be causing that. but they're picking up a 20, 30 pound child, you know, throughout the day. And if I told anyone else to pick up 20 to 30 pounds throughout the day, they would say that they're lifting a lot of heavy weight all day long.
Yeah.
You know, but for us moms, that seems like that's just what you do. So I try to help them understand that even though that's something you're going to end up doing throughout the day, picking up for hugs or whatever, when you're feeling that neck pain or that tension in the neck, I teach them very simple, just self-massage techniques that require two of their fingers and just the mentality of recognizing what your body feels like and not ignoring it. Because so often we have the tendency to just ignore pain, and we do it physically and mentally and spiritually sometimes. We want to just ignore it until we have time to deal with it. And what that does is it causes cumulative buildup of the pain. And so then that leads to what we call scar tissue and physical aspect, but you can also have wounding and scars of your wounds physically, mentally, and spiritually. So I have them start addressing things as they're sensing them, whether that's relaxing a muscle on the spot when you first start telling that it's tense, because a self-massage doesn't have to be a 20-minute ordeal. It can be a 2-minute, and I think I'm going to do a YouTube video at some point in time showing people how to do this, because so many people don't know how, where you're just taking two fingers, you're sticking them into the area of your neck that's tense, and you just rotate your shoulder around. It's like moving your elbow in like a semicircle, so that your fingers automatically will need that muscle in a way that loosens it up. And so you release some of the tension immediately. Another thing that I find with moms that tends to be a big issue is emotional rest. Yeah. A lot of them say they don't have time to go hang out at the coffee shop with their friends because the kids would be running around like wild people. It's not enjoyable when you're screaming at the kids because you can't drink your coffee.
Yeah.
So what I have them do is whatever your normal routine looks like, there are some periods of time during your day when your kids are occupied, comfortably occupied, whether that's coloring for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sitting in front of the TV for a few minutes, whatever it is where they're comfortably occupied. It is very simple to get emotional rest with other women that you enjoy being around, women that feed you and edify you, simply by using something like FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, something where you can physically see them. Because the benefit from emotional and social rest really has to do with being in someone's presence who is edifying to you. Mm-hmm. And so that presence, that interaction from being with someone can be just that simple. I have two girlfriends that one lives in Canada, one lives in California, and I'm in the Southeast. Once a month, we make a point of getting on Skype, and we're on for an hour, and we want to see each other. We only actually get to have face-to-face contact in the same room once a year because of our schedules. But every month, we make that a priority, and it is a beautiful time of healing and just reconnection, just to be able to see someone. And so it doesn't have to be an hour like we do. It could be 10 minutes once a week where you and your best girlfriend have a little bit of Skype time. And most of us, we can get our kids calmed down or even during their nap time for 10 minutes to be able to have that little bit of social and emotional connection.
I like all those ideas. I just tried the massage here in my closet. I was thinking you could maybe even get a kid on board, like get them a tennis ball and have them roll it up and down your back. I mean, take advantage of the little workers you have around you. Another thing with the getting the mom time is a tool my little group of moms has discovered is this thing called Marco Polo, which I'm sure for teenagers is bad, but for adult moms, it's a great way. You can share little videos and everyone in the group can see them, and it's super quick and you can watch it when you have a second. And anyway, it's very connecting to see other moms doing their day, and we've just really enjoyed it. So I totally can see how that's emotionally filling for me, which especially as an extrovert, I need more than I realize. So those are all great ideas. We also have these podcast clubs where listeners plan and get together with other moms that listen to the show. And so we give them discussion questions. But I think that that's the power of not just listening to this podcast on your own, but gathering with other moms in similar stages and talking through these topics and using it as an excuse to get together, because we do. We really need the live feedback emotionally, especially, you know, with littles during the summer. It can be a bit exhausting. I remember watching some young moms going to the pool together. I think they'd planned a meet, and it took them like 30 minutes to get the babies ready to go in the pool. They were in the pool for like 10 minutes. And it took another 30 minutes to like take the swim diapers off and put the clothes back on and get back home for nap time. It looked exhausting physically to get that little bit of social in, but to remind them that it's worth it, even if it's a lot of work to get there.
It certainly is worth it. And that's why I love the together time, you know, and to make those kind of big gestures of making a time to get together. But I think oftentimes that for a lot of moms, they use that as a reason why they can't do it.
Right. It's all or nothing.
It is so much work.
Yes.
And so that's why I really like for them to start looking at it kind of different. Yeah. I mean, 10 minutes, you would think 10 minutes would make that big of a deal. But when you have 10 minutes of kind of a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul connection with someone, it makes a huge difference in how your day goes.
Yeah.
Because your husband may not be able to relate to what's gone on throughout your day as a mom, mm-hmm. but your girlfriend can. Mm-hmm. And so you feel that connection and you feel that ability to just be truly authentic with that person. And there's a huge release that happens with that. A lot of stress that I'm finding, particularly the emotional stress that a lot of women deal with, is because they don't have those people in their lives where they feel like they can just be authentic without apology. Yeah. Just say it like it is without sugarcoating it or making it pretty, kind of the ugly truth, so to speak. And having those people is a huge release. Because you don't feel like you have to carry that around as if you're hiding behind a mask all the time.
And for the moms who have corporate jobs or like you were working in the medical field, I mean, even like you're saying, like a quick 5-minute FaceTime from work, I'm guessing like in a break or something would actually feed your soul. Because I'm sure when you're meeting the kids' needs and the work needs and the husband needs, the social probably gets put to the very bottom, but something that your emotional state needs desperately.
Absolutely. And what I found for a lot of women, particularly women who work outside the home and, you know, they work and the mommy role, they tend to really put a lot of focus on. I'm really big about marriages staying strong and healthy and vibrant and passionate. What I find for them, that's something that actually is more beneficial for some of them, is to fall back in love with their husbands again, mm-hmm. is to learn how to kind of ignite and keep that passionate side of marriage still going. And so sometimes for them, I actually recommend doing a FaceTime for 5 minutes with their husband, yes. during both of their lunch breaks, where they're looking in each other's eyes, because I find that to be something women don't do very much of anymore. We talk to our husbands kind of looking past each other without actually looking into each other's eyes. And oftentimes that's where the initial relationship happened, was across from each other, where you're having those deep conversations looking into each other's eyes. So to get back into that habit of staring at each other and talking, and FaceTime's a very easy way to do that. It's uncomfortable if you haven't done that, you know, 15 years. And then I'm telling you to sit down and to do it. You know, even at restaurants, you see it. Everyone's got their cell phones out. No one's looking in each other's eyes. Mm-hmm. So it trains us to be able to have that type of closeness with people again.
If you've been listening to the Don't Mom Alone podcast for a while, then you know I'm a big fan of getting professional help, seeing a counselor. That is what rescued me in a hard season where I was having panic attacks. I had lots of young kids. My husband was working all the time. And I want that for you. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce you to this week's sponsor, BetterHelp. They are ready to assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. This is not a crisis line, not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And you're going to start communicating with a counselor in under 48 hours. You're going to log into your account anytime, send a message, and you're going to get a timely and thoughtful response. Schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you don't have to worry about how is this going to fit into your life as a mom. I want to remove all the barriers of entry, anything that you were like, I don't know who to call. I don't know where to go. I don't know how I can make time for counseling. I want to take that all away and introduce you to BetterHelp. If you just go to betterhelp.com/DMA, that's BetterHelp spelled H-E-L-P, you're going to join over a million people that are taking charge of their mental health. And in fact, there's so many people that have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Bonus, as a Don't Mom Alone listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month if you go to betterhelp.com/DMA. BetterHelp.com/DMA. All right, let's get back to my chat with Sandra. Here we go.
That's good. Let's talk about the mental rest where a lot of us, especially if it is a stay-at-home mom who might be home with kids a lot during the summer and maybe even social media is kind of telling her that she's missing out on a bunch of fun that all of her friends are having, or maybe she left a corporate job to stay home and it's just not feeling worth it. How do we do that mental rest area? Well,
one thing you mentioned about social media, you know, I love social media in that it does keep us well connected, but most of us have a limit to what we can tolerate with that. Mm-hmm. And so kind of making sure that you're not exceeding your limits with social media. In other words, allowing it to kind of control your day so that you're never having some downtime away from it. Mental rest, I find for a lot of women, it tends to become a huge issue when they're trying to go to sleep at night. And they, because a lot of times women will say, you know, I don't have an issue with that. You know, my mind's fine. But when they try to lay down at nighttime, they're having all these thoughts that are kind of racing through. They have what I call monkey brain. It's like all these things are swinging around in their head space and they're not able to kind of wind down enough to be able to put things aside. So one thing that I think a lot of moms would benefit from if they're not already doing it is some form of journaling. And I don't mean journaling like this is something else to put on the to-do list. I mean something as simple as having just a post-it note at the bedside so that when you lay down at nighttime, if you find that there's a lot of stuff that hits your head, all of a sudden you're reliving conversations or there's thoughts that keep popping up, fears that keep popping up, whatever it is not to analyze it at that point because you're trying to go to sleep. So that's not analyze time. Yeah. What you want to do is to dump it out of your brain onto a concrete surface, which is a piece of paper, so that your mind will release it because our brain is set up in such a way that it's protective. So when something hits it and starts going around that endless loop, the mind says, this is important to her, so I need to hold on to it because I don't want to let her down and then she needs and I can't pull it back up. Mm. Whereas some of the stuff doesn't need to be held on to, particularly if you're trying to go to sleep. So when you write it down on something concrete, like a piece of paper, or if you have to put it into your phone or whatever, to have it outside of your mind so that then your brain will release it and allow you to go into a deeper level of sleep. That way you can go back to it at a later time. I know a lot of women do this with their to-do list. They lay down at night and they're thinking, oh, I need to make sure I do this, that, and the other. You would be better off writing the to-do list down as you're thinking about it right then, set it aside, then your mind will be able to release that thought so that it can go on into to resting and sleeping and being cleared. It's almost like just dumping that information out. Yeah. Another thing is that sometimes women get caught on what I call the negative self loop. Mm-hmm. Where they start having these, this is never going to change. This is just my life. This is how it's going to be. Everything's always hard, you know, yeah. Mindset. And when you start dwelling on that, automatically the mind is going to want to go to the negative. It's almost like going down a hill. It's much easier for the mind to kind of continue down that downward path rather than kind of uplift itself. So the way that's some easy ways that women can uplift their mind and keep it in a right perspective is to surround themselves with things that are positive and engaging. Sometimes it's as simple as if there's a scripture that speaks to you, the creative rest part, if there's beautiful art that speaks to you, it may not speak a word to anybody else, but But it says something to you to surround, to put some of those things in your surroundings. Women in, who have their own offices. I know in my office, I have a piece of art on my wall. It's just the centerpiece of art that's on my wall. It means nothing to probably no one else, but it makes me smile every time I see it. Yeah. And it's been on my wall for 10 years now. And I put it there on purpose because it makes me happy. And I think that's important to know that there are ways to kind of feed the positive in our mental space so that we don't allow our minds to kind of roll down that negative hill.
That's good. You'd mentioned too, creating a mental sanctuary. Talk about that. What does that mean for you?
For me, it's that safe place in our mind where we can retreat to. Because oftentimes when we start going down that negative, we are always more judgmental of ourselves than anyone else would ever be. And so we can't have mental space be the judge and jury space. Our mental space should be where our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings can all be able to retreat to so that they can have a time of healing, where they can take a breath and experience just being. And so for myself, what a mental sanctuary looks like is kind of the white space of the mind where I don't have to prove anything to anyone, not even to myself. I don't have to represent anything to anyone. I don't have to show up in a certain way. However I walk into my mental sanctuary, I'm good. It's okay. I'm accepted. I'm loved. I'm appreciated. And I think every woman should have that place in herself where she feels like there is a point I can get to where I am always enough. And that is your mental sanctuary. And when you start thinking about yourself like that, you start living like that. You're not so withdrawn. You're more willing to be vulnerable and authentic. You take away that what I call people pleaser behavior, where you feel like you have to prove your worth with your work, and you're able to just be.
And you mentioned in the book about, you know, pointing back to Romans 8:6, not to set our mind on the flesh or the things that are temporary, but to set on the spirit. And I think, you know, for the moms who listen here, that's a good place, is to really narrow in on their identity in Christ, focus on the characteristics of God. That's what you're saying, so that we aren't looking to our own efforts for that approval, but realizing we are already approved and coming from that place. So it's taking a second to remind yourself of the truth of who you are in Christ, in that mental sanctuary. That's so good.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's helpful to even write out who God says you are.
Yeah.
Because when your mind starts kind of taking you down that proof that you're worth it, prove that you're worth the rest, prove that you're worth pulling away and taking time for yourself and self-care, you're able to then see that that's not necessary. You know, we already have permission to rest. You know, the mommy guilt that sometimes comes with that is really a lie. It's a lie to keep us in that. I look at it as the John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's doing it to a lot of us through our inability to rest, our inability to trust God, that when we lay things down, that he is able to uphold them.
So for me, with 4 boys and having a highly sensitive nervous system, I would say I'm in that highly sensitive person area. Talk about sensory rest, because it just feels impossible. It feels impossible that I will get a break. And then I'm also, you know, on the phone, I feel like the sensory of even things coming, I call it coming at me from my phone or from just the environment. We live in the city. What advice do you have for rest in that area?
Sensory rest, I think, was one of the most interesting ones when I started looking into it, because it's not one that's well discussed. But everyone knows when they're not getting enough of it, because like you said, you do become hypersensitive, and hot and rich sensory experiences become less enjoyable. Fireworks, concerts, things where it's just lots of noise, they become less enjoyable from that. A couple of the just really small things for sensory rest. A lot of times, particularly those who are believers, when they hop in the car, they kind of automatically think that putting on worship music would be a good idea because, you know, it's a spiritual event that you get a chance to worship. I find that people who have difficulty with sensory rest do better to have no noise in the car at all. Because sometimes they can't practice silence any other time.
Yeah. But so we're not talking about when all the kids are in the car. We're talking like
no,
you're going
when
to.
When the kids are in the car, you probably need the worship music.
Yeah. Or a book on tape. That's been helpful for me, like Adventures in Odyssey or something, where mm-hmm. everyone quietly listens. That's better than everyone fighting and screaming
and making noises all at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. And if there seems to never be a time when you're without your child, when the car can be quiet, because that's where I know a lot of parents that, you know, get their quiet time is in the car, is when you're actually at home. And it sounds very bizarre, but that whole prayer closet mentality is not a bad thing, because the reality is, when you're in a closed in space, as long as you're not claustrophobic, the lack of light that would happen in a closet, the lack of sound, you know, if everybody's asleep or taking a nap or whatever, to have, and it's not large doses of it. And I think that's the thing to keep in mind. We're not talking a 20 minute, you know, shut yourself in the closet. We're talking as little as 2 to 3 minutes of sensory rest or sensory deprivation, really, where you're depriving your senses of input. Helps to reset your mind, your body, your spirit, and every other aspect of you. So closing your eyes, if you're sitting at your desk and there's no closet or anything around, you're working on your computer, closing your eyes and just keeping them closed for 2 minutes, that's a type of sensory deprivation. You can even do that right now to start feeling how just doing that starts bringing a sense of calm. Mm-hmm. It's small amounts of sensory deprivation spread throughout your day. Mm-hmm. So however you can interject that with your kids, sometimes it's beneficial if you're noticing that you're having a lot of electronic feedback, you're using your computer a lot, your cell phones, those type of things, to be aware that actually changing the lighting on them makes a huge difference in your eye strain. Mm. And how that affects your body in general. So if you're about to go to sleep at night, some phones have a setting, I think all of them probably do now, have a setting where you can have your phone automatically adjust the light depending on the time of day. So as you approach nighttime, if you have to use your phone for something, then it would be the screen would not be as bright and intense as it would be later, or, you know, earlier in the morning when you're trying to see it. And then also having breaks, you know, actually putting your cell phone down for periods throughout the day.
I'm thinking too about if we start making these little disciplines of rest a priority, we're modeling it for our kids because they're definitely growing up in a busier world than we did. And for them to have healthy bodies and souls and spirits, they're not going to just pick up on this if we haven't modeled it. So if any motivation, if it's not your health and your sanity, maybe your kid's sanity is a motivator to make this a priority. I mean, like yesterday, I got a tiny glimpse into the summer. My boys didn't have as much homework. We didn't have any sports to go to. We live in Texas, so it was like 90 degrees. They didn't want to go outside and play. So they're just mm-hmm. running around inside, just having the best time, but I was about to lose my mind. I was like, guys, seriously, stop running. No, don't. They were like jumping off beds. I don't even know what they were doing, but it felt like the house was about to fall down. And I need to implement your closet, prayer closet ritual, whatever you want to call it, so that I don't lose it on my kids all summer, because they're having a great time. They weren't doing anything, quote unquote, wrong. They weren't destroying anything, really. It just sounded like it. Mm-hmm. But I was struggling with the sensory overload and don't want to lash out at them. So I think with moms, like you pointed out at the very beginning, we often don't clue into our physical or our emotional state or sensory state or whatever state. I know you have a quiz that helps us define these things, but we don't always clue in the moment. We just mm-hmm. react. And we're so used to meeting everybody's needs that we're not often noticing, oh, I'm feeling a lot of pain right now. I'm really depressed right now. I'm really anxious right now. To even know that we need to start solving for it.
That's so true. And I think that's an awesome point, because if you don't allow yourself to be body aware, then you're not going to know how to even correct it. Right. And I think that's key, because the quicker you can identify, I'm getting into sensory overload, you can immediately do just something really small. Even if it's like, okay, I'm going to the bathroom, kids, and you don't have to use the bathroom at all.
Right.
You know,
right.
you're just going in there so you can close the door, sit on the tub and
right.
meditate for 5 minutes, you know, whatever is required, because it may look selfish, but it's not. It's actually the most giving thing you can do, yeah. because otherwise you're going to be toxic. Mm-hmm. And whether you think you're being toxic or not, if it causes you to lash out in a way that is unbecoming of the activities that are going on, then there's a toxicity there.
Yeah.
And so the only way we detoxify is by allowing ourselves to be poured into. Mm. And being poured into, for me, because, you know, we talk about sleep and rest and naps and those kind of things. Well, for me, the difference between sleep and rest is, you know, sleep is purely a biological function. It's a passive activity, purely biological. Rest has a huge spiritual component to it. Because when we do these restful type things that I'm talking about, yes, there's a scientific aspect to it, but there is a holy aspect to it as well, because it requires a bit of trust with God to be able to pull back and do some of these things. And that connection kind of, to me, keeps us in this abiding place with Him. So that rest becomes more than just these little tips that we're doing, but it's how we are practicing abiding in Him in every area at all times.
You're cluing into a point that you made in your book about just faith and your own struggle that you shared. Tell a little bit about your story with faith and trusting God.
I think that's probably why I burned out, to be honest with you. I grew up not trusting God. My mother died soon after I was born. My dad left the hospital, a widow with a newborn. Mm. So I grew up feeling like I had been, like God had not been fair, I guess is the word that comes to mind, that God had just not been fair with how He had dealt with me in my life. So when I thought about trusting Him, I had no ability to trust Him because I didn't feel He was trustworthy. Mm. And so that's probably not very Christian to say, but that's the
truth. No, that's real. I've done enough of these interviews. You're not alone in this. No, this is real.
I did not feel He was trustworthy. So in my head, I thought, well, if I can't trust Him to work out a good life for myself, then I will work it out for myself. And that's what I did. You know, I studied hard. Everything that I did, my life had the type A personality plan. And I was a girl with a plan and I was going to work my plan.
Yeah.
And like I said, all of those things that I had prayed for and asked for and wanted, they all came true. I had all of those things. But even with all of that, what I found was it still wasn't enough. It still didn't feel that extra bit that was needed to really make it where my life felt whole and it felt like it was accomplishing what I really desired, what the desire of my heart really was. So for me, that overcoming that trust aspect of it took a very long time and was a huge part of my journey.
What was involved in getting to a place? Because again, you're helping someone by sharing wherever she is on her journey of trusting. You know, what did God do, or what people that helped you, or was there any process that could lead to deeper trust in God?
For me, it seemed like a very long years long process, because trust came kind of like layers of an onion.
Yeah.
I can't say there was like a flip, like a light switch that clicked and all of a sudden I trusted God. It was bit by bit by bit. For instance, my son was at one point was 3 years. This was in the journey when I was already looking at how I needed to recover my life. I'm at the hospital. I get a phone call, or actually I got a text that says, this is the daycare. We're headed to the ER with your son.
Mm.
Now, you know, as a mom, that's kind of like, you know, what?
Yeah.
You know, you already have, at that time I was dealing with mommy guilt about my kids are in daycare and, you know, all this other yeah. stuff that I was trying to work through and get over. And then I get this text message. And so I'm headed, you know, I'm in the ER. I actually go back to where the daycare is, chase the ambulance to the ER because I'm all in a panic. And I remember getting out of my car and I was about to walk into the emergency room to see what was going on. And, you know, my big issue with God was about death. And I think it's actually why I became a doctor. I didn't want people to die anymore. Yeah. Not on my watch kind of was the attitude. Yeah. So I'm getting out and I just felt Holy Spirit saying to me, you know, because at this point I actually had gotten to a much better place in my relationship where I felt like I trusted God. And I felt Holy Spirit asking me, if your son doesn't make it, will you still love me?
Wow.
And I thought to myself, and this was after about 2 years of working through my own rest journey and trying to heal places that had been broken and wounded. And I was in my car just sobbing. And I thought, as much as it would break, I think everything in me to get back to that point where I did not feel God's presence in my life would have killed me more. And that's when I really got the realization that I do trust you now. I trust you even in the middle of the pain, because I know that you're good even so when bad things happen, that those bad things aren't you. You are always present to help me through them. And if I block you off from the healing, all it does is create a wound that has no ability to be restored. And for me, that's what rest is about. Rest is about restoration. It keeps me in that place where when woundings come, whether they're physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, social, sensory, creative, when some type of wounding hits my life, if I want it to be restored, I have to allow myself to get to a place where I lay down my ability to try to fix it. Because as long as I'm trying to fix it, I don't have the power to fix it. He only has the power to fix every one of the seven types of rest is where God is coming in some type of either spiritual or physical or scientific way that's healing us. And I think when I started to really recognize and understand that, I was able to accept just who he is more and how trusting him is part of the journey of getting better.
Amazing. Yeah. You've nailed it. You've nailed how we try our hardest to prevent the pain. We do our best to try to make it right ourselves. And then it's that surrender. We're like, okay, I'm to the end of my efforts. I'll let you have a go, God. And his healing is so much better. And again, going back to the Sabbath, that which means to cease. It's like, cease the striving. Trust me. It's what sleep is at the end of the day when we stop our work and we say, okay, I'll trust you that this will be here tomorrow and that you can help me tomorrow, or this will be here in a couple of days. And it's this acknowledgement of who's actually in control. And like you were saying, I wanted to control it so no one else would die if we just do X, Y, and Z. So being aware of that in our motherhood and our marriages and our lives, cluing into where we're trusting in our efforts over God's provision is really, really good. So good. And there's so much more to your book. Oh, our time is up, but there's a whole section, y'all, on the gifts. Gifts of freedom, gifts of reflection, gifts of acceptance, gifts of permission. I mean, y'all, I feel like this is even just like a slow and soak read. I don't know. Do you think? I mean, I don't feel like this is even a book to like race through. This is like read, just kind of sit on it, meditate on it a little bit, see it. And there's a quiz. Is it only in the book? Or is it online somewhere?
No, it's online, actually. I actually recommend people do the online version over the one in the book, because in the book, you can kind of sit there and analyze the questions to death. But online, you just kind of flow with it and go through it. It's at restquiz.com. Okay. So really simple, restquiz.com. And they can do an assessment, and they get an email after they go through the quiz that gives them a score. You know, it's not a pass-fail, but, you know, it's a score that lets you know where you stand in all of the different seven types of rest, which ones you're excelling at, which ones may need some work to try to help improve. So I highly recommend that. And that's completely free on the website.
So great. Thank you, Sandra, so much for being with us today and sharing all that you've been studying and learning and doing, and even the tender parts of your story. I really appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you, Heather, for all that you're doing to help keep women in the center of God's will.
Oh, you're so sweet. And I'll have all the links in the show notes on where they can find you online and to connect with your book and all that jazz. So I appreciate you and hope you have a great summer.
Oh, you too. Take care.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, y'all, for tuning in. I'm going to pray over us. Lord, help us to trust you. Please reveal the areas of our lives that need to be restored, so that we can lean on your faithfulness more. Please bring to our attention any area that we are putting trust in other than you. Please guide us so that we can be wholly yours, wholly dedicated to you, serving you in our homes, in our careers, with our friends, and give us that peace that passes understanding in circumstances that are ever changing. I pray for each person listening that you would be their ever-present help and guide in times of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. And one more reminder of Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith's course that she's created since we recorded that episode. You can go check it out in the show notes over at don'tmomalone.com. Get that link and you get a big discount as a listener. So make sure if you are needing more help in this area that you go check that out. All right. Thanks, y'all, for listening to the Summer of Mentorship. We have one more week, and then we'll take a week off, and then we'll be back with regular episodes. And I have one ask of y'all before I end the show. Would you do something for me? Would you share your favorite episode of this podcast with a friend or on your social media? Because I'm finding that a little bit of us spinning out of control is that we're consuming content and media, but perhaps the kind that gets us off course on the truth of who God is and where our centering comes from. And so I'd love to do like a truth takeover or something. All that means, all I'm asking you to do, just tell one friend, share one time, spread the word so that moms feel less alone and that they remember that God is at the center. He is in control. So if you could do that for me, that would be so great. High fives all around. All right. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Adios. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.